Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Bears, 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 football, football, football.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Will new offensive coordinator Bill Lazor change the Bears' fortunes? What do you suspect his actual duties will be?
This is a head coach that wants plays. So his responsibility will be coming up with actual plays. I don't think he's going to be like a running game coordinator. I don't think he's going to be like a passing game coordinator. I think the head coach is going to do all the play calling, but he needs plays. Anybody in the building? Hey, Tony Medlin, you see that coach you just got for the coach drive? Was there a play in there? If you can find a play, submit it.
A cocktail napkin written in the pocket?
That's all we need is somebody that, scribbled. Oh, that's an interesting play.
Wow.
We'll take it. So that is what Bill Lazor is charged with doing. He will not be allowed to call plays, but he will be allowed to contribute them.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Burrow looking to run. Escapes and scores. Well, they got the Fab Five playmakers, but you got to keep an eye on the quarterback, too.
Who will win an NFL playoff game first, Joe Burrow or Mitchell Trubisky?
Mitch Trubisky is in a better situation to say, yeah, he's going to win a playoff game before Joe Burrow, who just finished up his college career last night and still is cleaning confetti out of his hair. But I don't know that because I don't have a ton of confidence in Mitch Trubisky's ability to lead this Bears team to a playoff victory because we have seen over the last two weekends how difficult it is to actually win a playoff game. And what we've seen from Mitch in 41 NFL starts doesn't leave me with a lot of confidence. And I think it's begun to wane this year more than ever. I'm going to say Burrow.
Go Tigers!
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Recency bias. Mully and Hall. Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't look at Joe Burrow last night and think this guy's going to win not just a playoff game, but he's going to win some playoff glory. He could be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Now, the problem is he's going to Cincinnati. So
hold on a second. Hold on a second there. He can be a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yes.
I don't disagree at all because you know how much I think of him as a quarterback and as a prospect. He reminds me of Andrew Luck. Super Bowl winning quarterbacks typically play, this is grasping the obvious here, Super Bowl winning teams and franchises.
Yeah.
The Bengals aren't one of those teams.
That's what I say.
Or franchises.
That's why he's got to force his way to someplace else.
How realistic is that?
Well, the Bengals, it's not realistic. He can't fall back on baseball.
Bengals have been to a Super Bowl more recently than the Bears, haven't they?
No. Bears were 2006.
Oh, God. How did I forget about that one?
That one just slipped your mind?
It's been a long morning.
Devin Hester forgives you. I understand why that would be out there. I think Joe Burrow, nothing in his makeup so far to date strikes me as somebody who would pull a power play to avoid going back to the state of Ohio where he is from and he cherishes, and it's important to him to not play for the Bengals. I think he's going to end up the number one pick of the Bengals. They're going to build around him. And in today's NFL, you just don't know what to expect. I mean, history tells you not to trust the Bengals, but...
Well, I mean, they're down and out right now. So,
yeah,
you know, see what happens. Yeah, part of the struggle for all teams is getting that position correct. I mean, the guy that touches the ball on every play is usually pretty important. Now, I think the Bears are closer to the playoffs than the Bengals are. So I picked Mitch. If he is indeed the starter, I'm not saying that Mitch is going to be the guy that drives the train, but he could certainly follow that defense into a playoff win. And Mitch has this little bit of a knack for making a play late in the game.
Yeah, he does.
He really does.
I'll give him that.
So if you didn't have a field goal kicker miss a double doink, you would have won a playoff game already. So I think
because of him.
What? Well, because Mitch got him in position to kick the field goal.
That's a fair point.
So all I'm saying is the Bears closer to playoffs, therefore closer to playoff win than the Cincinnati Bengals when they draft Joe Burrow. Now, like I said, Joe Burrow is the kind of guy that I honestly believe is the kind of guy that can drive a playoff engine, that can drive could win a Super Bowl.
I've got a lot of Mitch fatigue, but I look at the Joe Burrow going to the Bengals situation, and there is a possible byproduct or side effect in Chicago because Bengals draft Joe Burrow. They cut or trade Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is out there for NFL teams to evaluate, and the Bears, who need a veteran presence in that quarterback's room, sign him or trade for him to join his former offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor, a guy who
Lazor got fired there. Do you think their relationship's good? Do you know that their relationship's
good? I know that, when Andy Dalton had sort of this mini resurgence in 2016 or 17,
he was credited
with having something to do with that. I don't know if it ended on bad terms, but I don't think that, you know, when Lazor lost his job in Cincinnati, it was part of a purge with the staff, right?
Right. I mean,
that was the Marvin Lewis staff.
It's also
staff.
A badge of honor to lose your job in Cincinnati.
Yeah, right.
It's
like,
oh, but thank God.
So he comes to the Bears with a pretty good reputation and, you know, a history with Dalton. Now, I'm not saying that Andy Dalton is the answer necessarily, but he certainly is a bigger, would make you feel better about the position than you do right now. Than you do right now with, you know, the idea of Case Keenum coming in or somebody else who is less proven. I think the ideas that we've also talked about, you know, getting somebody who is more proven than Andy Dalton probably are not something they embrace. They're not going to draft a quarterback high enough to matter, probably. You could do worse than Andy Dalton.
So, I mean, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying if we had Marcus Mariota come in here because his college coach was here, now we dump that idea and you go to Andy Dalton because his pro coordinator is now here. I mean, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought Pace really liked Marcus Mariota coming out.
He
to
did.
The point where they were debating a move.
He did like Marcus Mariota. And if Marcus Mariota is still in play, I think that would be another option that you could embrace and accept and like and get behind. The problem with that, Mully, is that you know how pro sports works. If Marcus Mariota and Mitch Trubisky have the same agent and he doesn't want to play ball that way, you're going to have a hard time getting him to Chicago. And I think that's the case.
I think you are not fulfilling your obligation as an agent if you're not getting a player in the best position. Whether that's going to peeve your other client or not, you
know a lot of agents.
Yes.
And do you think that's typically the case with agents?
It's not what they want to do.
No,
but
it's
I'm
not.
Saying,
no.
You know, the team is coming to you. Hey, we'd like to bring your guy in as a backup or a guy to compete.
You're right. You're right. But I think that's almost idealistic. I hope that doesn't get in the way because you want options.
Yeah, but you also have fiduciary responsibility to the people you represent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. I hope it's not that way either. But
And putting Marcus Mariota in a position to succeed would interfere with your fiduciary responsibility to Mitch Trubisky.
Well, okay, fair enough.
You know,
you can look at it that way, I suppose.
It really would.
Well,
and I wonder if that would look. I don't want to dismiss that idea.
Someone's coming in.
I hope
compete, so. Right? You would think that someone is. You would hope that somebody is coming in to compete. So the Bears need to get the best guy and not worry about whether his agent will be happy or unhappy about it.
I agree totally. And
I'm not saying Mariota's the best guy.
Well, I think he could be one. He could be on that list.
Okay.
And until proven differently, I'm going to hope maybe or think that what Ryan Pace does is going to be more important than what he says. So when he says that Mitch is our starter in 2020, that is true today. That is true tomorrow. But until they get through free agency and they add a guy who, you know, might not be somebody that's still a possibility they could act in a way that's contrary to what he said in the season ending press conference.
We're getting strong reaction, people saying they don't care what Pace likes because he's the idiot that picked this quarterback over Mahomes. And then we have people saying the fact that he loves Mariota proves that Mariota's no good. I mean, that's a very... That is a negative opinion of your general manager if you believe that his appreciation of a quarterback is evidence that the guy can't play.
If you have that opinion today, I understand it, but nothing that he does this offseason is going to be something you endorse. So you're never going to see any positives in any moves that he makes. But look.
He picked Mike Glennon. That worked.
Yeah, no.
Never mind.
It was his year for four games. You look at the playoffs, and again, it bears repeating. You look at Ryan Tannehill, and the takeaway from that is that when you bring in a veteran to challenge a high draft pick that has become your franchise quarterback almost by default, then good things can happen. I'm not saying the Bears are going to end up, you know, NFC Championship game next year if they go out and get Andy Dalton or Marcus Mariota, but I think that you definitely need to challenge the incumbent, and if you don't, you're being negligent.
The Bears need to somehow pull a trade off so they get Burrow.
Oh, wow.
That was a joke. That's not happening. Let's get to Bill on radio.com. He's listening online. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning. A lot of excited people down here. I'm a Chicago transplant. I've been here since the 2007 year.
Where's down here?
Where are you?
In Louisiana. I'm sorry. I thought they mentioned that. No. So, live near Baton Rouge. I always thought LSU backed into that championship with a Nick Saban shared championship team. The monkey's off the back now. They solidly won yesterday. So, hopefully, it'll lead to other championships down here. But I wanted to let you guys know I'm a SEC fan now. I grew up in Chicago watching the Rose Bowl, wishing I was living in California, watching the Big Ten and the Pac-10, and it's really fun. It's a lot of fun. I've gone to a lot of LSU games, and I'm into it. But my comment is, I heard David mention yesterday, I'm a sports Chicago, still a Chicago sports junkie, listen to the internet radio and everything in the morning going to work. David, you did mention about Clemson. I would have loved to seen this spread historical offense against Clemson's opponents. I think it would shatter every record, every offensive record with the point differential, but that's just my opinion, given Clemson's schedule this year. But the comment I want to make, David, you said something about Lawrence being the better quarterback yesterday. And I know you're really on Burrow, and everybody's – you could see now he's in the spotlight. You can see how great he was. I watched it all year.
Yep.
He does. He looks like he's from another planet. He really does. The way he moves his body and the way he processes.
Ball placement, but David, accuracy.
Exactly. But, David, if Lawrence came out, let's say hypothetically, with Burrow, would you still pick him as the number one quarterback, given your comment yesterday?
That's a really good question, and fair to call me on that, because yesterday,
I think
the hypothetical I posed, if you're NFL general manager and you had to pick one guy, would it be Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow? And before the game, I think I was leaning toward Trevor Lawrence because of his track record. But you see Joe Burrow last night, and I think it's a difficult box to check.
Well, that's recency bias.
It totally is.
But I mean, he beat him head to head. He was unbelievable.
He beat him head to head.
Unbelievable.
He beat him head to
head. Six interceptions.
And seeing him,
not a gunslinger. He's a ball placement guy.
And seeing him place the ball as exactly as he did against those defensive backs of Clemson, who were highly skilled, highly athletic guys. If you had to pick the day, I mean, I am flip-flopping totally.
Yeah, it's okay.
But I got to go with Burrow today.
Dustin, what about you? I think you were the big supporter of you were anti-Joe Burrow,
I think Joe Burrow's NFL career will be derailed if he ends up being a Bengal. I think Joe Burrow will be okay. I don't think he's going to be special. I think he could play in this league for a long time, and in the right system, he can flourish. If you think that this guy is going to save the Cincinnati Bengals franchise, you're solely mistaken. There are other guys in this draft I would take ahead of Burrow if I were the Bengals. Okay,
would you take?
I think the safest. I think the safest
Chase Young.
Chase Young. Is Chase Young out of Ohio State.
Chase Daniels,
he's available.
Most people would probably think that I would take Chase Daniels, right? But no. Or I would roll the bones and I would go with Tua, just because of I think it gets a lot more people a lot more excited.
I don't know.
I'd take Joe Burrow.
I would take Joe Burrow.
Trust me, Joe Burrow doesn't want to be taken number one.
But I think they're both special quarterbacks that we watched last
from
night.
From there, man.
I think both those guys are going to be really good NFL players.
Did you see that thing about he talked about the food bank and how tough things are in that area? And that now the food bank has got thousands upon thousands
of
dollars.
That's what I mean. He does care about Ohio.
He could do a lot of good in Cincinnati.
Yes. and you want him to pull a power play to go somewhere that has a better chance of winning.
I said that was suggested, and I said that if he went someplace else, he would, as Dustin's implying, have a better career. If I were him, I would try to power play my way to New England. Or for me, maybe Chicago, because yeah. I live here. So that would be awesome if that he could do awesome. Something
could
like
that.
Could
you imagine that yeah. for a moment?
No, let's I suspend can't imagine reality. It. That would be so much fun.
With the number one pick, the Chicago Bears select Joe Burrow from yeah, LSU.
He somehow fell to 48th. Don't ask me how. Help.
I'm glad the guy called me on that, though, because I did totally flip-flop,
you know, honestly,
in 24 hours.
It was in all of our minds, you and Dustin. No, no. All right. 312-644-6767. We're talking national championship. We're talking new offensive coordinator. There is all sorts of baseball news. We got it all for you.
Biggs time next.
And we'll talk to our guy Brad Biggs. We'll bring him in, and he'll tell us a little football story. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Biggs. With Mully and Haw. Biggs time. The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Biggs. His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. He is a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the Bears got themselves a new offensive coordinator, and we've been trying to figure out exactly what that means and exactly what his role is. What he's not going to be a play caller, so what is he going to be?
Well, I think we'll need to wait to hear from Matt Nagy exactly what kind of responsibilities are going to be given to Bill Lazor, but I'm sure he's going to have his hand in a lot of stuff in terms of, practice preparation, in terms of hands-on work with players on that side of the ball, in terms of evaluating players in training camp, and then, game planning. That when they put together the game plan, it's not just Matt Nagy. It's a whole group of them, and you certainly lean on your offensive coordinator to be involved in that regard. I would expect Nagy to ask him for some perhaps fresh ideas on the offense, on what went well, what didn't go well, what possible ideas for improvement he's going to have. I'd expect him to ask that for all three new assistants on offense. You know, guys coming in from the outside that maybe don't know what all went into the product that they put on the field, but can offer some suggestions. You know, you've got to look for new ways to improve an offense that was bad across the board in 2019.
Brad, you wrote about this some yesterday, but how does the way the job is structured and how did that affect maybe the type of candidate you could attract or maybe interest in a job that may not involve play calling?
Yeah, well, you got a couple things that don't make the job the most attractive opening out there. Number one, it's a coordinator job where the guy doesn't get to call the plays. That's always going to be less appealing to potential candidates. You know, Pat Shurmur is the guy that the Bears really wanted to be able to hire for this job. And Matt Nagy had a brief time together with him in Philadelphia, has high regard for Pat Shurmur, but the Bears weren't able to lure him in to take the job. And Pat Shurmur's going to go to the Broncos and work with Drew Locke, where he's going to have a chance to, you know, run the show on offense under Vic Fangio. So I think that's the number one thing. Number two thing is, what quarterback are you selling? They've got Mitch Trubisky, and that's not going to be the most attractive quarterback in the National Football League to come, you know, work with. So you had a few things working against the Bears there. I don't know what everyone's perception in terms of potential candidates are for the Bears situation going into 2020. Is it win or else? I'm not sure. And certainly they've got to be better. And hopefully, you know, Bill Lazor can bring in some ideas that they can incorporate and they can begin to, you know, really make some gains on that side of the ball.
You know, the quarterback thing.
He's had some success working with some guys.
Well, and one of them obviously is Andy Dalton, and that's what the next question was going to be. Does the connection there indicate that's a possibility? And I know you like him.
Yeah, I mean, if they are going to get a legit quarterback to challenge Trubisky, and it's, you know, that would seem to sort of fly against what they talked about at the end of the season. But if they're going to go out there and get the best possible guy to bring in, I think it was back in the beginning of November, or late October, when I threw out the name Dalton to you guys as a possibility. Do you go out and hire a Bill Lazor with the idea of that improving your chances of somehow getting Andy Dalton? No. The reality is Dalton's under contract to the Bengals. So right now they'd have to trade him unless they decide to cut him. Does Lazor perhaps give you a little bit better idea of what works with him if you do land him, I suppose, but I think that's taken too many steps ahead. I still think that if they want to get serious about that position and making sure they can make that quarterback position as good as they possibly can this coming season, that Dalton's going to have to be a guy that they have a real long discussion about. And the nice thing now is Lazor would be able to answer some questions about him that Nagy might have. And Lazor worked with Ryan Tannehill at the start of his career. 2014, Tannehill put up some pretty good numbers for the Dolphins, 4,000 yards passing, 25 touchdowns. The interceptions weren't real high. I want to say his passer rating was around 93. He's been the quarterback's coach for about four different teams. He was with Nick Foles when he led the league in passer rating in Philadelphia. So he's had some success. His resume, he's kind of bounced around a little bit. And certainly the numbers that Cincinnati put up and before that Miami when he was a coordinator weren't great. But let's be real. The offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears in 2020 is still Matt Nagy. Bill Lazor's got the title. But Matt Nagy runs the show on that side of the ball.
Brad, I suggested that the idea of Marcus Mariota coming to the Bears as one of those possible veterans to challenge Mitch would be complicated by the fact that he and Mitch have the same representation. Is that real or imagined?
Oh, I don't think there's any chance that Mariota could come to the Bears because he does have those quarterbacks share the same agent, and that makes no sense for the agent because the agent then guarantees one of their two clients there is not starting. So there's almost no way that they would take another one of their clients to go then challenge another one of their clients for the job. Mariota's just an absolute non-starter for the Bears, no matter how they even evaluate him, in my opinion.
So they've now brought in three new coaches on offense, Juan Castillo, Clancy Barone, and of course this hire right now of Bill Lazor. Which of those guys has the biggest effect on the team, and is it weird that they were all out on the street?
Yeah, they were all out on the street. Does that make them bad coaches? Not necessarily. Just makes them guys that got caught in, you know, rough spots. And listen, sometimes there are times when a guy will get fired and he remains under contract that
sure,
he might not look super hard for that next job. Maybe he feels like he needs a little bit of a breather, a little bit of a career reset. Maybe he's got some personal things going on. I don't know that getting paid to not work for 12 months isn't the worst thing in the world. But that is an interesting commonality between those three guys that they were all out in 2019. Who has the biggest effect? I'd say, you know, Castillo's going to be the guy with the most, I guess, power. You know, the offensive line job is considered probably right, the most important position coach after you get past the coordinators. But, I mean, truthfully, hopefully all three of them have a significant impact in them being more productive on offense. You know, hopefully Clancy Barone can work some magic because, as you guys know, they were god-awful at the tight end position this past season.
Yeah, noticed that. Thanks, Brad.
Hey, Bigsy, thanks, man.
Good stuff.
All right, guys, have a great day.
That's our guy Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune. Very interesting.
Yeah, he mentioned Andy Dalton way back.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-season, I mean, as a possibility.
Yeah, he's been on that train for a while. Kevin, what are you doing? How about an update?
Yeah, I'm going to do an update.
Can we interrupt you for a minute just to get you to fill
sure,
us in on whatever?
Get that fork down.
Yeah. Well, I was just reading this story about a police officer that went into the LSU locker room after last night's game and threatened to arrest players that were smoking cigars.
Did you see the cigar smoking?
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone went Red Auerbach. You know, the quarterback is sitting on this couch with his leg up just smoking this stogie. It's hysterical. We had a texter say, you know, he looked too cocky doing that. Come on. They just won the national championship.
What do you want him to do?
How long after was that officer fired?
Well, I don't know. I believe Dabo might have made the call, gave them an anonymous right, tip to go check out what was going on in there. But no one was arrested.
Tried to arrest him at halftime.
Yeah, no one was arrested.
Burrow's got time. Launching for the end zone. Jump ball. Touchdown. Terrence Marshall. And Burrow believes that was a crucial play to stretch the lead. You can see by their reaction. Dropped a dime again.
He's one of the greatest players in LSU history. He's done so much for the state of Louisiana and LSU. We are so grateful for Joe Burrow. They can eat on that seagull, boy.
Yeah, they were chomping on stogies. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
They
not allowed
it,
to
though,
smoke indoors.
Yeah. You're not allowed to. No.
But not, I think that,
not even in Louisiana?
Not well, no, nowhere. Where you been?
Chicago.
Yeah, you but can't on, do it here.
On that night in the state of Louisiana, I think Joe Burrow could do whatever he wanted. He definitely, after that performance.
312-644-6767. Let's get to David. He's listening online. Good morning, David.
Hey, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
So, I don't know what you're saying, so let me give you some three names. Vince Young, Marcus Mariota, and Cam Newton. The windows in the NFL are so tight. Trevor Lawrence's game does not translate. Under duress, 16 passes high. What are the great quarterbacks of the past have? Montana, the guy from New England, the other young, is that they could throw to a window that's tight. Under duress, this guy's game does not get better in the NFL. Matter of fact, I go on record say, he'll go by the way of Ryan Leaf. He'll be the biggest bust that come out.
You know, you talking about Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, he's talking about Trevor Lawrence.
You can get enamored with a 6'6", 225 frame, but he can't hit a window under duress. Under the NFL, that scrambling. Well, and by the way, get a haircut. You're going to be the franchise of an NFL.
Oh, boy.
Get a haircut.
All right, David.
Well, you know what?
That's where I draw the line.
He was pretty good up until he had a bad night, but I don't think that disqualifies him as an NFL prospect. And by the way, Cam Newton, pretty good.
Oh, Cam Newton was great.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
MVP,
right?
Got to
a Super Bowl.
Got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to put the ball in small windows in the NFL, but because Trevor Lawrence struggled against an LSU defense that was pretty athletic on a national championship game, I'm not going to say, okay, automatically forget him.
Yeah, but I do like Joe Burrow, and I think he's going to be successful. I don't know what the point was. And the guy in New England, is that Tony Eason? Who is that? The guy in New England.
Tony Eason. There's a cop.
Let's get to Paul. Paul's in Lake Forest. Good morning, Paul.
Hey. Good morning, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Paul.
I had a double look and make sure I dialed the right number. The last thing I want to do is win Bulls tickets.
Well played.
Just two comments quickly, if I may. I never pictured Nagy to be one of these low self-esteem millennials. This guy he hired yesterday, he's the only person less threatening than he is my grandma as far as offensive knowledge. And secondly, the Bears' problem is this. The sports entertainment space has passed by ownership. They can't sell because of the taxes, and they're held hostage, we are, the fans are, by the 17 family members that have to get in their golf carts, drive that mile down their driveways to get those checks every month. And they're not going to sell because of the taxes. Is there a listener out there who knows something about inheritance taxes, how they can get the Bears out of this issue? Because they'll never sell. We don't have, we're behind the league in scouting. We're behind the league in facilities. All these things that you just need to get the edge. Because these 17 families need this as a revenue stream. And it'll never change till they sell. Never.
All right, Paul, thanks
for the phone call.
I don't think, number one, I don't think that's accurate about the golf carts. I don't think they live like billionaires or really like millionaires. I think they live relatively normal.
Yeah, I think
George
that,
commutes in from.
The word modest comes to mind.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And that's born of.
And, you know, the other thing.
Mrs. McCaskey and the way that she, you know, cherishes
absolutely.
Her father's. Legacy and has driven that home with the kids. And, you know, she's still with us. There is no inheritance tax. I was told there is a mechanism in place where obviously the McCaskey children will be able, Ed and Virginia's children will be able to own this team. Eventually, the next generation, they will have to sell this team. So I don't think it's, I don't think there's anything imminent. And I don't think that it's a fair kind of way of viewing it.
Speaking of fair, let's be fair to Bill Lazor. This is a guy who comes
That's
to the Bears.
Another one, yeah.
With, you know, you can say he's non-threatening, but what he is, he's pretty accomplished and he has a pretty good resume. He did not work in the league last year. So obviously you're going to look at that and say why, but this is an Ivy League educated former quarterback at Cornell. He's worked for
A more experienced offensive coordinator than the head coach who's the offensive coordinator.
He's worked for Joe Gibbs, Mike Holmgren, Chip Kelly. He has a wide variety. He's been exposed to a lot of different offenses. He's a guy who is not going to necessarily – we don't know yet if he's going to call plays. I doubt it. But he at least has a pretty good knowledge base and a variety of experiences that he brings to Chicago.
I think it's a misnomer to imply that he's non-threatening because – he won't take over play calling duties. I thought that they might promote from within or sign someone from outside that had never called plays in the NFL. And if they had done that, then that would be non-threatening. This is a guy who is an option if the coach decided, which he won't, to give up play-calling duties. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get it.
That's threatening.
I agree
with that.
That's not non-threatening. If you had hired, let's say, Dave Ragone, if you had hired Mike Kafka, these are guys who are essentially position coaches. You hired somebody who has been asked on third down and two in the middle of a Sunday afternoon with the pressure on, even if it was Cincinnati or Miami, he still had to make a decision under those circumstances. That is what I think you're looking for, that kind of experience. Now, will he be asked to do the same thing for the Bears when it matters most? Maybe not. And maybe that's the lesson that Matt Nagy has to learn again the hard way. But Bill Lazor is an accomplished assistant coach in the league with a good reputation, so I don't think this is some... This is not a move that anybody should probably criticize, right? It's hard to criticize. Unless you're just conditioned to criticize everything the Bears do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And you know what? That's the larger issue, David, because I believe that we are conditioned to criticize everything the Bears do. And that's why I said earlier in the program I was wrong. I apologize to Matt Nagy. I thought he was looking to hire someone without kind of the ability to call plays because he wanted to make sure he hung on to him, and that's not the case. So
and that,
I apologize.
And that truth about being every sort of this market and this culture conditioned to criticize every move the Bears makes is where we were before Matt Nagy, you know, had the 2018 season, where the Bears, when they sort of regain the credibility. And what it does is it desensitizes everybody. So when there is valid criticism to be leveled, people kind of lump that in with the other stuff that isn't really fair.
Yeah, and listen, there's so many things that it's worth criticizing about because as much as we're conditioned to criticize, they're conditioned to, defend and explain why Mitch missed a play or why something went wrong or why the offensive coordinator needs to keep his job and you don't need to give up play calling duties.
Or turn within and reveal nothing and be so guarded.
That's right.
Because they're so wary of the criticism that they fear that is coming. They share nothing and they reveal nothing and they hold nobody accountable publicly. And that's where we are right now.
And you know why you do that? You do that because you don't have the confidence that you have the answers. That's the sad reality. If you listen to Theo come on and talk, the guy knows what he knows, and he feels good about it, and he talks to you, and you feel like, God, thank God he's the general manager, or the president, regardless of what's going on. The Bears don't do that for the exact opposite reason, because they don't want to get caught in a gotcha type of thing, because they don't trust themselves to get through it without looking like idiots.
And where does confidence come from? Experiencing success.
That's right.
And so when Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy met the media back in Decatur, before this season began, when the expectations were high and you're coming off 12-4 and all of that, what they said carried a lot more credibility than what they said after an 8-8 disaster, right? Because they were guarded, they were everything you just described, because they hadn't had the success and they had no confidence or conviction with what they spoke. So you didn't hear something that you trusted. You heard guys who you sounded like they were trying to protect themselves.
Right, right. And the very idea that you'd tell somebody at a news conference, well, we don't know, we can't decide, you know, we're trying to figure out, we're just at the start of this thing, and then 3 hours later, you fire people because you don't want to face the questions about why you're firing those particular people.
And to close the loop, I think what that reality right there, what you just said, because of the way they fired these assistant coaches, is why nobody wants to believe in the ones that were hired to replace them.
Yeah.
How ironic in our situation.
Oh, there's no irony. But it's a sad reality. I'll give you that. I mean, there is no benefit of the doubt. And there's a lot of doubt. Frankly.
There's a lot of doubt, and that's why I think this is a hard hire to criticize, because Bill Lazor comes to the Bears well-traveled, a lot of experience, 47 years old.
He's got a lot more experience in the NFL than the guy they fired. Fair enough?
And the guy he's working for.
But the guy they fired, well, that's true. But the guy they fired, we don't know what his job was or what he did wrong or why they fired him.
And we never found out.
No, never had an opportunity. 312-644-6767. We've got Coach Wonstedt ready to join us next. We will talk to Dave about all sorts of matters. The Bears hires, obviously. We'll get into that. We'll talk about what he saw last night, and we want to talk to him about a dear friend of his. and a longtime friend of his getting into the Hall of Fame. That, of course, Jimmy Johnson. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 at the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.